case, Home Federal Savings Bank versus Tycor Title Insurance Company.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Thank you. Your Honor, my name is Rick Richmond. I represent the appellant, Home Federal Savings Bank. This case, as you know, involves coverage under a title policy, specifically whether the appellee, Tyco, or Title Insurance Company, had the obligation to both defend and indemnify Home Federal against a mechanics lien claim, that claim having been asserted in a foreclosure action that Home Federal filed to foreclose its mortgage against an ethanol plant in Cloverdale, Indiana. I know that Your Honors are well aware of the facts, which are not in dispute in this case. In fact, the case came before the district court on cross motions for summary judgment. The parties agreed that there was no dispute as to the material facts. There really is one issue in this appeal. It's a legal issue, and that is, did my client Home Federal have an obligation to advance funds to pay the contractor Wilhelm, which filed the mechanics lien, so that Home Federal's failure to do so caused the filing of Wilhelm's mechanics lien, thus triggering the exclusion in the policy for liens, quote, created, suffered, assumed, or agreed to by Home Federal. Your Honors, as you know, again, Tycor based its argument, which it first asserted in its reply brief before the district court, on two decisions of other courts of appeals, the Brown and Bankers Trust cases. In those cases, both courts found such an obligation on the part of the lenders based upon contemporaneously executed disbursement agreements between the lenders and the title companies of that case, and found by virtue of those disbursement agreements an implied obligation to advance funds.
Mr. Richmond, help me. Explain how a disbursement account works.
Generally, you set up an agreement that you will actually pay the funds to the title company, directly to the title company. The title company then collects the lien waivers, et cetera, and makes disbursement under the terms of that disbursement agreement.
Okay, so they're
to the
protected.
Lien. Yes.
They're protected that way, and thank you.
In this case, there was no, again, such disbursement policy between the title company, Tycor, and my client. And again, that was the distinguishing factor, the thing that both courts in Brown and Bankers Trust used to find that there was an obligation on the part of the lender to advance funds for completed work, even though, as in this case, Your Honor, the borrower had defaulted under the loans, and the issue was, did my client have the obligation to nevertheless, despite the default, advance additional funds to pay Wilhelm, and by not doing so, did it cause the filing of Wilhelm's lien? Your Honor, in this case, the district court did not disagree that, in fact, there was no disbursement agreement in this case. What the court found was, however, that the policy itself, the court found, created this obligation, and it's found specifically, and I quote, that the policy, quote, specifically contemplated that Home Federal's coverage would be tied to its actual disbursement of loan funds, close quote. Your Honors, I don't disagree at all with that statement. In fact, the policy does provide that coverage is tied to disbursement of loan proceeds. What Tycor calls the pending disbursements clause of the policy provides that the policy insures, quote, only to the extent of the amount actually disbursed. Your Honors, in this case, there is no doubt that the amount actually disbursed under this policy was over $96 million. There's also no dispute in this case that Wilhelm's mechanics lien was about $6.2 million. Under the terms of this policy, the express terms of this policy, both under the pending disbursements clause and under the mechanics lien endorsement, again, there's a specific mechanics lien endorsement that my client bargained for and paid over $10,000 for. Coverage was provided well in excess of the amount of the lien. It was provided up to over $96 million. What the district court essentially did was insert into the policy a requirement that in order to have mechanics lien coverage, Home Federal had to have disbursed funds for the work for which the mechanics lien was sought. But, Your Honor, there's no such provision anywhere in this policy, nor is there a provision that provides that we had to have disbursed the entire loan proceeds before we got mechanics lien coverage.
So under your interpretation of this policy, the title company is kind of hanging out. Right?
The title company.
They're sort of hanging out. They're at serious risk if your borrower defaults and work continues on the project, right?
Well, they're not at risk if they have done what they've got a construction loan here, which is what this was. Under Indiana law, so long as the construction loan has priority over any mechanics lien to the extent of the funds actually disbursed.
Okay. It's just you're just saying that they've got an obligation, even if you were certain to win the case, they still had an obligation to defend you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor, because, as you know, it's very clear, it's very important here, this mechanics lien endorsement provided for coverage not only for loss we incurred by reason of the actual enforcement of the mechanics lien as having priority over our mortgage, but by virtue of the attempted enforcement of the mechanics lien as having priority over our mortgage. And that's what was so important in this case.
We're talking about the settlement and costs. How much is at issue here? About $1.8 million?
Well, as you know, Your Honor, we didn't move for summary judgment on damages, but the cost of defense, I think, were about $100,000. Mm-hmm. The amount that we paid to settle the claim was $1.5 million, and why we had to pay that and why it made sense and was the damage, it hasn't been argued. It's not before the court, but I can certainly do so.
If we agree with you, we would need to remand on damages?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Mm. No doubt. We did not move for summary judgment on damages.
Okay. Could you address, Mr. Richmond, the argument that Tycor makes, page 13 of its brief, that you are relying on docket entry 35 that was stricken from the record?
Right. And I don't have that copy. As to which issue? I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It's a little unclear to me, I didn't see a direct response in your reply. And I
did not respond. Your Honor, I did assert in my reply, let me back up. The argument was that was raised again in Tycor's reply brief was that we had not paid Wilhelm and therefore that we were excluded under the exclusion for liens created, suffered, assumed, or agreed to. So we're going to leave to file a surreply to that, and in that surreply, we then quoted the Mid-South case. The district court actually went a little further. It said that the reason that it was going to find in favor of Tycor was because Home Federal withheld disbursement of funds that could have satisfied Wilhelm's lien. That's a little bit further. Frankly, Your Honor, I didn't have the opportunity to address that question, and I did address it in my brief, which is that, in fact, there weren't additional funds that could have satisfied Wilhelm's lien for a couple of reasons. At the time we filed our summary judgment motion, we had advanced, I think, about $1.6 million of these additional funds up to that time to pay the receiver. The receiver was having to maintain, insure, and clean up this property. And, Your Honor, I did also bring up that by the time that the case went to trial, we had advanced, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was over $4 million that we continued to advance out of the balance of the loan proceeds to, again, pay for the receiver, pay for insurance, pay for it to be cleaned up because there were significant environmental damages. There had been a fish kill at the property just before we foreclosed, Murphy's Law. I admit, Your Honors, that I did not I did not raise those issues before the district court because I didn't know that the court was going to say that we withheld disbursement of funds that could have satisfied it.
Okay. And where is that information? Is it in the district court record at all?
Yes, it is. It'd be in the discovery responses. And it's also part of the district court record in the district court record. I'm trying to think. I do not believe it would be. Not other than the advances were made before up to the time of the summary judgment, the $1.6 million. As to the balance, it would not be there, Your Honor. And I didn't counter because I think that was a proper thing to note that it was not raised to the district court. But again, the district court kind of made a determination which I had not had a heads up that we're going to she was going to rely upon that, frankly. Your Honor, just briefly, the last thing I want to focus on is that although we've got two cases from other courts of appeals, namely Brown and Bankers Trust, which I think are readily distinguishable. We do have another case here which clearly applies, although it's not binding press on this court.
It's
been South, Your Honor.
I'm sure we're all familiar with that, but could I just ask you, Mr. Richmond, kind of quickly to summarize the chronology of events that led up to Wilhelm being unpaid for that last bill?
Sure. My understanding is, and again, I wasn't involved in the underlying dispute. My understanding is that there had been for some period of time a dispute between Wilhelm, and the owner, who was Ultra, because the plant wasn't working. There's a whole procedure the plant has to go through to be certified. It's supposed to be certified up to a certain gallon amount of ethanol that it will produce. These things are really nothing more than big stills, but for the fact they put stuff in there so you can't drink it, you can make anything at this plant. The main problem centered around what were called the RTOs. They're big heaters, basically, that superheat the gas that comes out of the plant so that it burns up the particulates and other things. This thing was overheating. It, in fact, caused some meltdown in the control room, which was placed between the RTOs, which is an issue. But there was a lot of finger-pointing. Yeah, I know, Your Honor. Yes. There's a lot of finger-pointing between Wilhelm and Ultra as to whose obligation that was. Ultra was saying this is a design build. If it doesn't work the way it's supposed to because the way you designed it, it's your fault.
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm was arguing, no. You specify these particular RTOs to be put in there and said that would be sufficient. I think there was a dispute about whether, in fact, you should put the control room between them, et cetera. But this kind of dispute led to the fact in which everybody was saying, you know, you need to finish this plant, Wilhelm. Wilhelm was saying, no, we don't, because you haven't paid us and we're not going to do any more work. And they came to loggerheads finally. Ultra purported to terminate Wilhelm's contract. Wilhelm took issue with that and said you can't properly terminate it, but nevertheless backed off, didn't go further, and filed a mechanics lien for $6.2 million. And in the meantime, while they've been disputing, there had been work done for which had not been invoiced yet. Obviously, they invoiced for that work. As you know from reading the briefs, there had been a prior, what they call, update to the policy. We had heard about this dispute, heard that there may be a mechanics lien filed. We requested an update from Royal Title Service, who was the agent of Tycor, to do an update, or not to do an update, to do a title search to see if, in fact, there was a mechanics lien filed, and that we requested a title search. What we got back was an update that listed the Wilhelm mechanics lien, and what we have from that is an argument by Tycor that just because they added that into the endorsement, somehow that excludes coverage, and that's not the case. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Richmond. Ms. Zort.
Good morning. The district court found that Home Federal's position was untenable because all disbursements prior to the Wilhelm lien had been fully accounted for with waivers of mechanics lien. It properly denied Home Federal's motion for summary judgment, holding that Tycor owed no duty to defend and no duty to indemnify Home Federal for the Wilhelm lien. An insurer's duty to defend is determined by the policy, the underlying pleadings, and its investigation of those facts. Tycor reviewed the policy, the Wilhelm counterclaim, and did investigate those facts. Wilhelm made no assertion of priority over the mortgage, and therefore it could not result in liability under the policy. Under Indiana law, when the underlying factual basis of the complaint, even if proven true, would not result in liability under the insurance policy can properly refuse to defend. Tycor did properly refuse to defend. The policy insured Home Federal against loss resulting from the lack of priority of its construction mortgage. The value of that construction loan policy was dependent on the loan proceeds actually disbursed. That limit was $87 million. That $87 million is an agreed and stipulated fact.
Ms. Wortman,
yes,
as I understand this, you're making essentially three separate arguments. Okay. One is that Wilhelm never asserted priority.
Yes, Your Honor.
On that one, could you address the points made by Home Federal at pages 1 and 2 of its reply brief, where it says, in fact, they did assert priority over the Home Federal mortgage?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Those are addressed clearly by taking all of the Wilhelm claim, paragraph 10 of its counterclaim, and reading it, the entire sentence. And it says, according to statute 322832, Wilhelm is entitled to assert its mechanics lien, but is entitled to recover only the benefit of the improvements it provided to the site that it's been unpaid for. The statute in Indiana is clear. According to Wilhelm's counterclaim, this is all the benefit we can get. Home Federal then addresses what the proper statutory authority is.
No, wait, okay, hang on. Okay.
All right.
Two separate issues. Okay. Your second theory seems to be, well, Home Federal is going to win because Wilhelm doesn't have a leg to stand on. okay, which usually is not a valid basis for denying defense. Let's go back to the first one, as to whether Wilhelm asserted priority over or parity with, or priority over, Home Federal's mortgage.
It did not.
Okay. What about Tycor's claim counsel, William Gabriel, acknowledged that he understood Wilhelm's counterclaim alleged that its mechanic lien had priority over the lien of the secured mortgage against the secured property.
Home Federal submitted a notice of claim. Home Federal's summary of what it proposed to Tycor as the fact said Wilhelm is asserting priority over the mortgage. When Home Federal took its opportunity to investigate the claim, to actually read what Wilhelm said in its counterclaim, it was clear that, in fact, Wilhelm was asserting a right to recover the improvements that it had not been paid for.
Okay,
not
so,
that it was asserting priority.
Okay. How about the amended response to the foreclosure complaint, which, and I'm reading from the reply brief, unequivocally stated that Home Federal's mortgage, quote, should not be enforced as priority and superior liens to the Wilhelm and other mechanics liens.
The rest of the sentence is, again, important, Your Honor. Paragraph 3 of the amended response starts to say, to the extent that Home Federal waived or otherwise relinquished its rights that it is seeking to now enforce, this action or acquiescence in noncompliance of its obligation, then its liens, Wilhelm's liens, should be enforced as priority or superior liens. It again continues with paragraph 5, misrepresenting those facts as well by omitting the substantive part of that allegation. Although Wilhelm contests the superior lien position claimed by Agstor, it is nevertheless required to look first to the property in which it has an exclusive right. Again, Wilhelm asked for nothing more than the right to recover under, although the wrong one, the statute Indiana 322832.
Okay. Interesting.
It's the Paul Harvey version, Your Honor. The rest of the story here is clearly important.
All right. Your second theory seems to be, if I understood you correctly, that if that since Wilhelm was going to lose, there was no duty to defend.
Although I think that's correct, it isn't what Tycor relied on. Tycor relied on four things: the policy itself, the conditions, the exclusions, the affirmative coverages. It relied on the claims that Wilhelm made, the actual statements of Wilhelm in the counterclaim, and then it relied on its investigation of those facts. Tycor relied on Wilhelm's underlying claims, Wilhelm's expectation of a remedy according to the general statutory theory for removal for its unpaid improvements, that Indiana law, as you say, certainly did not and could not have given priority to the Wilhelm lien claim, and even if the Wilhelm lien claim was proven true, it would not result in liability under the terms of the policy.
Okay, we know that the policy, though, also covers attempts to gain priority, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so the underlying merits of the claim really don't matter that much, right?
The underlying merits of Wilhelm's claim?
Right.
Only to the extent that it does not assert priority, and in that way it critically does.
If there is any ambiguity about that question, how would the duty to defend be resolved?
If there's you have to read the policy. Reading what the policy says, and then we can move on to, it is the insured's duty to clearly establish that a covered risk is triggered by its claim. If the insured can do that, then the insurer has the right to look at the exclusions, exceptions, and limitations of the policy. In this case, even if you assume that Wilhelm did assert priority, then the exclusions come into play. And the limitations
That's your third theory, right?
Yes, Your Honor, it
okay.
is.
Okay. Where is the source of Home Federal's duty to pay unpaid contractors?
Home Federal's duty to pay is when it, according to the pending disbursements clause, limited the policy coverage to $87 million. What I referred to and what the court asked earlier is, where did these extra numbers come from? And any extra payments that Home Federal purports to have been made were identified in what it calls docket number 35. That docket entry was stricken by the district court. So Home Federal's coverage under this policy is limited to $87 million, an agreed fact within this case. everything that Home Federal wanted over and above $87 million is not there, including the Wilhelm claim. So
there's something I'm not understanding here, frankly, because you're saying that Home Federal was responsible for paying Wilhelm, right?
If anyone was going to pay Wilhelm,
well, Altra was responsible for paying Wilhelm.
Agreed.
But it seems like what you're trying to argue here is that you all had a disbursement agreement similar to the ones that were in place in the Brown and Bankers Trust cases.
We called it a pending disbursement clause.
Is that the same?
It's very much the same. The distinction being that Home Federal accepted the responsibility for funding its agent and acquiring the mechanics lien releases. In fact, it is Home Federal's agent who provided those releases to Tycor. So Tycor knew that it had a measured risk. Every 30 days, before it would make a subsequent disbursement, Home Federal, by and through its agent, was responsible for providing the mechanics lien waivers for every dollar of policy benefit that it had provided under the loan policy. Tycor knew, because it didn't permit an update or disbursement of any further funds, because it collected those waivers of lien. It limited its risk. And in Indiana, an insurer is fully able to limit the risk that it undertakes to insure. Should I continue, or was there another question? Okay. Tycor investigated the underlying facts of Home Federal's claim, the Wilhelm lien, the Wilhelm counterclaim, and the policy provisions in Indiana law. All of the $87 million of the loan disbursements had been fully accounted for by waivers of lien. Home Federal did not provide any additional loan funds for the improvement or construction of the project. Even now, what Home Federal purports is a new argument, not inside the record, but wholly outside both this court's record and that of the district court, are certainly only funds that it expended to maintain during the foreclosure process, not for the benefit of the project. Home Federal sought and still seeks to make Tycor liable for something, one, it didn't owe, but two, it had no policy benefits for. The amount of the disbursement of the loan, $87 million, is the cap of coverage. Indiana law provides that in interpreting an insurance policy, the court must read it as a whole. This includes the pending disbursement clause.
Ms. Ortman,
yes.
I'm sorry, may I?
Of course.
In the decision under review, first addresses the duty to indemnify and holds that there's no duty to indemnify, and then goes on to say because there's no duty to indemnify, there's no duty to defend. Doesn't that get things backwards?
Your Honor, I believe it is a misstatement by the district court. She argues or discusses the duty to defend, and when there is no duty to defend, there can be no duty to indemnify.
So is the first part of the opinion going to duty to defend or duty to indemnify?
The duty to defend.
How can we make that conclusion given that the decision titles that section of the opinion duty to indemnify?
The district court held that the policy at issue here specifically contemplated that Home Federal's coverage would be tied to its actual disbursement of the loan funds. Schedule B limited coverage only to the extent of the amount actually disbursed, up to the face amount of the policy. The mechanics lien endorsement, critical to this case, further provides that coverage would only exist for the mechanics lien asserting parity or superiority to the mechanics lien insured by the mortgage for that portion of the proceeds of the loan, secured and thereby advanced for the purpose of paying the cost of the construction of the improvements of the land. This is where we tie back to the duty to defend. Because Home Federal argued an assumption that there was a duty to defend or that Wilhelm asserted priority, the court continued. But nowhere in the policy, nowhere in the pleadings, did Wilhelm say, in a full sentence, we assert priority over the mortgage. It didn't because it couldn't. And that's where the district court addressed the duty to defend. And the last sentence, I believe, of the holding turns the terms defend and indemnify. My time is up. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Richmond, your time had expired, but you may have 1 minute if you wish.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Your Honors, I'll be very brief. Judge Hamill, you've hit the nail on the head. The three arguments, all of them are without any merit. As to no assertion of priority, in addition to the points that you point out, by her own admission, counsel acknowledges that Wilhelm was attempting to obtain priority as to its improvements, namely the plant that it built, an argument that could have come in and removed the plant. Arlene covered the improvements.
Where do we see that? What she's telling us is that your brief unfairly and misleadingly edits the portions of the complaint.
It does not, and I welcome you to read the sections of the amended response and the counter and the complaint, or the answer itself in cross-claim. Your Honor, if you say I unfairly mischaracterized, not only was the letter sent to Attorney Gabriel, the underlying claim was sent to Attorney Gabriel, and claims Attorney Gabriel came to the same conclusion that we did, and that is that Wilhelm was asserting priority, and he told that not only to my counsel, he told to his own agent, Royal Title, in an email. I invite you to please read both the answer. As to the second argument about even if we win, their basis is that we could lose. And I tend to agree. I think we would have ultimately won. But that's not the point here. The policy covered not only the actual enforcement as having priority. I apologize.
I didn't finish that thought.
Well, thank you. It is that there was not only the attempted, but also actually the attempted enforcement of this lien against us was a covered loss. And there was clearly an attempt to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richmond. Thanks to all counsel. The case will be taken.